You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily NFL fantasy podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer, and I'm not doing this. I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. Big weekend there. We have our playoff field set of 14 teams, 7 from the NFC, 7 from the AFC. Black Monday, we have 6 teams in need of new coaches here. We're up to that total there on top of the Raiders. We have 5 more openings, so a lot of things happening, transitioning to 2022, that season, with week 18 in the books. Wild, crazy finishes, and things that happened last that we're going to try to break down reactions. For most of these teams, it's going to be going into the offseason, what we're taking away here from the final games. So for 14 of them, it's going to be what we think about for the playoffs here, as we'll still play fantasy football through the playoffs. So I will break down the rest of the games for you here. We'll do a triple threat of matchup shows for you because we do have the games of both conferences to navigate through, 6 games there. So we will break those down in total for you going into wildcard weekend. So I think we'll do 2 shows per game here on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and then put it all together, look at the injury updates and DFS as we always do if we're doing showdown or targeting single day matchups there with the Saturday and Sunday. And then we also have the Monday night game now as it becomes a super wild card weekend. The Cardinals and Rams are closing things out in the wild card run of games. So we'll break all that down for you. First, I got to tell you here before we dive into this final roundup Monday of the regular season, thanks for making Locked On Fantasy Football your first listen every day. We are free and available to you on all platforms. This podcast is brought to you by OnlineGambling.com, the place to be for all the latest gambling news and tips throughout the NFL playoffs. Visit OnlineGambling.com/NFL to get the edge over the competition throughout this year's playoffs. We'll find out more about OnlineGambling.com later in the show, but it's time to dive into what we saw. We'll start with the Saturday games here. The Chiefs move on here as the number 2 seed in the playoffs. We know that. They settle for that, so number 2 is where they were, by the way, a couple years ago behind the Ravens when they went on their Super Bowl 54 run and won it all. So in a good, comfortable position. And they played the Broncos. The Broncos gave them a good game, played pretty well here in their final game. It turns out for Vic Fangio as head coach. Vic Fangio, the first thing he kind of was talking about when he knew the writing was on the wall is the Broncos could have been something special if they had improved quarterback play. And that's what really hurt the Broncos all season. Teddy Bridgewater gave them everything he could there in easier matchups playing caretaker, but then in the end he has that scary neck injury that turns out to be a concussion that keeps him out several weeks and puts him on IR, and Drew Lock mops up and not much better there. Really, it was the same thing all season long with the Broncos offense. We'll get into that. The Chiefs, you're pretty much looking at Patrick Mahomes as a 250-2 quarterback. That's what he's settled into now, so he's enjoyed that because that means they're winning games. He's also had more than 50 yards rushing in this game. So he owns the Broncos. We know that here. What's been interesting is the way the passing game is kind of spread out. They relied a little bit more on the running backs. But you look at the numbers here. Mecole Hardman went over 100 yards receiving. He was the leading guy here. Tyreek Hill, just a blip there. Only 2 receiving yards in this one. Travis Kelce's also seen kind of a watered-down role here. So really surprising developments, and what's also surprising is the Chiefs are winning games that way because they're getting enough from the running game with now Darrell Williams and Derek Gore filling in for Clyde Edwards-Helaire. We'll see if Edwards-Helaire can return against the Steelers. Really good matchup for that Chiefs running game. We know that here. We'll break that down full. That's one of the wild card games. We'll see the 2-7 game in the AFC. But yeah, interesting that Mahomes, again, the volume is not necessarily there. We got more resistance than we thought from the Broncos, which helped Mahomes' numbers in this one. But again, Hardman has been pretty good, but he's flashed only at times here. This is not a regular thing for him. We've seen other receivers like Byron Pringle and DeMarcus Robinson, and when he was healthy last year and around, Sammy Watkins. But none of them have been that consistent. I think they need that consistent number three, because teams are just finding a way to take out Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce out of the game. And that's something that Mahomes is going to have to adapt to. I think he has done that pretty well from a reality perspective. But we want to do that in fantasy again. It's really back to that Chargers game where both of those guys went off like we're used to. And that was really the spike. I mean, we had pretty much a low level of production from both. We had the jump up there. Kelce missed the game with COVID-19, which hurt there in a critical time in the fantasy football season. And then you had Hill kind of just go quiet here in this offense. So very interesting development here with the Chiefs offense in the second half of the season. They're winning games. Again, they're not going to complain about that, but I think they need to go get some reinforcement playmakers here to help Kelce and Hill to not only just have Mahomes have another option that he's relying upon instead of by committee, but also to open things up again for those two guys. And maybe a different type of receiver, maybe a big receiver on the outside, maybe a Mike Evans type that would be really helpful when you look at the way the Buccaneers are built with Evans and Gronkowski and Chris Godwin is healthy. The Chiefs really need to take a page out of that, and I think they're overdue to take a wide receiver. So we'll see that. With the Broncos, Melvin Gordon, 110-plus yards in this game and a touchdown, looked really good again, but this is it for Melvin Gordon. There's no way they should re-sign him here. Vic Fangio's gone. Pat Shurmur, we figure, is gone as well. So looking at the Broncos, Javonte Williams should be the lead back next year. They need to find a guy that's going to take advantage of all these receivers. Now, Tim Patrick had been pretty good. Revelation, he got a new contract there. But Courtland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy, criminally underused. They've also battled through injuries at times here. And Noah Fant flashed a little bit with Drew Lock. So there's some things that Drew Lock did that Teddy Bridgewater couldn't. It's pushed the ball downfield a little bit, but you still didn't see that with the Jeudy and Sutton all season long. So a bit of a reset. I think they're going to go maybe look at Patrick more as being the all-around number one here in this offense. He was the leading receiver in this game. Again, Gordon, I'd be shocked if they bring him back. Javonte Williams, they need to unleash him a little bit. Maybe they're a little wary about giving two every workload, but Melvin Gordon, if he can come back cheap, they would look at it, but I don't see reason to carry him here with the new coaching staff in 2022. The next Saturday game, or the last Saturday game of the year in the regular season, the Cowboys decided to play their starters. They put up a 50-burger on the Eagles, who were resting pretty much everybody in this game. They didn't have a lot of healthy bodies to begin with because of COVID-19 protocols and other injuries. The Eagles had already locked into a playoff spot, didn't change their ending at all. They were still the number 7 seed coming in and out of this game. So let's look at the Cowboys. I mean, Dak Prescott was just on fire here. They were relentless, but again, it was kind of a preseason tune-up game. Just play, except one team was playing their starters regularly in this one. So the Cowboys, maybe it'll pay off here as they have a tough matchup against the 49ers. They did come out of the game unscathed here. Michael Gallup was already down for the season, but immediately Cedric Wilson steps up with a big game here. 2 touchdowns for him. They were careful with their other receivers here, and Ezekiel Elliott got a good workload, but they went so big up in this game that they could get deep into their bench, even past Corey Clement here. So it was a blowout beatdown all the way through and through. The Eagles, again, weren't really trying to win this game. The Cowboys used every bit of it to just kind of tune their offense here, get it in high gear, running and passing here for the playoffs. So Cedric Wilson, I don't think he's going to go away as a factor here replacing Gallup. I mean, we've seen it before. He has played a big part in what they do. So I think the receivers are going to be bigger. Mark Cooper, CeeDee Lamb, and Wilson more so than Dalton Schultz in the playoffs. And I think they'll find a way to get Ezekiel Elliott more involved. Keep in mind in this one, Tony Pollard was rested in this. And also on the defensive side of things, Trayvon Diggs and Micah Parsons didn't go in this one. So Cowboys, interesting, very marquee matchup right away against the 49ers in a 3-6 game to open up the playoffs. Now, the Eagles will also be in the playoffs. They'll be playing a 2-7 game as the road team against the Buccaneers here. So they rested Jalen Hurts. Gardner Minshew looked pretty good. He connected well with Quez Watkins here. So Quez Watkins ends up being the main receiver here with a little bit of a Devonta Smith. So it's been tough to trust these Eagles wide receivers consistently. You want Smith to be more like a number one. But they're content running the ball a lot, which they did here with Kenneth Gainwell, knowing that the Cowboys had a lot of question marks there with their defense. So the Cowboys offense played full force. The defense was missing two key elements there, Parsons and Diggs. So you saw the production there from Minshew and this passing game. So again, we should see Jalen Hurts course, back in the playoffs here against the Buccaneers. Decent game the first time against them. Let's hope Dallas Goedert also clears COVID-19 protocol, so he's out there with Smith. Again, not a team I'm investing too much in DFS for fantasy here in the playoffs. The Cowboys have a lot of appeal in that 49ers game at home versus the Eagles, a run-heavy team being on the road against the Buccaneers. Now, let's go to the other Pennsylvania team, Pittsburgh, playing at Baltimore here. And we thought it was a good matchup for Chase Claypool to get going. He did. They had him as the leading rusher. He also scores the touchdown late there. So Chase Claypool, I think he settled in nicely. They'll have an opportunity here to be big-time receivers. And Chase Claypool is a candidate to bounce back into high wide receiver two territory. That's how talented of a player he is if he gets the right type of touches. Najee Harris a little bit quiet on the ground, but we knew that. The Ravens' run defense is tough. Pat Freiermuth did have a nice game, and we knew the Ravens' tight end defense was pretty bad. So it was a different story there for this team. Usually those two things are related, but the Ravens good against the run, but not very good at covering the tight end here. And Freiermuth takes advantage. So you have Claypool in year two, Freiermuth as a rookie. They'll both continue on to the playoffs. Diontae Johnson settled in as their season number one here. So some really good weapons. Someone's going to inherit, along with Najee Harris, replacing Ben Roethlisberger here. So really like what they can do. Maybe get the quarterback in there. And Claypool is going to be bumped up big time because he's a big play threat. Big Ben's big arm wasn't the way it was here. So finally used Claypool in more of a shorter area capacity, running and all that. Part of it is Deontay Johnson missed some time in the COVID-19 protocol during the week. But yeah, this is the way they should have used Chase Claypool more regularly. And hopefully it's a sign of things to come. Assuming it's Matt Canada, and this offense is the same here post-Big Ben in 2022, after the playoff run, of course, here. Let's look at the Ravens side of things. The Ravens had some seamless production here from Tyler Huntley. That's what we learned, is they plugged and played him, and he did a lot of things that Lamar Jackson would. The biggest difference is he really got hurt with Marquise Brown and Rashad Bateman, where these guys had their moments with Huntley, but there was a lot of consistency in production with a healthy Lamar early in the season, and that kind of disappeared here with Tyler Huntley. So that's the thing we need restored here for the Ravens. Mark Andrews, baller, they're going to keep treating him as the top receiver here. He's their Travis Kelce. So a big year for Mark Andrews concludes. He leads the team in receiving one more time. And we look at the Ravens' backfield. It had been belonging to Devonta Freeman as the fill-in of choice for a while, but Latavius Murray came back with a vengeance and scored a long touchdown in this one. So, look, it's over for Freeman and Murray. They're not going to be key parts of this rushing attack next year. We know that J.K. Dobbins, hopefully, and Gus Edwards, hopefully, are coming back healthy. So, we saw what they could do with Freeman and Murray in this position here. So, they're really excited, I think, for when Dobbins and Edwards get back next year. It'll be pretty special in this running game. And again, Ravens, that's the difference between Huntley. He can do some of the things that Lamar can, but getting him downfield, passing, and getting those wide receivers involved was a big difference. Now, let's go to the other game that we saw in the AFC North. It was the Bengals resting players. So Joe Mixon was in the COVID-19 protocol. Joe Burrow was coming off the right knee tweak there against the Chiefs after winning that game late. And Brandon Allen got the start. Very limited work for Jamar Chase in this game. They just treated it as a bit of a bye week here. So that's worked out really well because the Raiders played deep into overtime. That's who the Bengals play, and they play on a Saturday. So everything is lined up well for the Bengals as they got essentially their own bye going into the wild card playoffs. So that's pretty good. What we saw from the Bengals, their highlight was Chris Evans. He looked really good. We've liked this rookie for a while. He just wasn't seeing much of a role there behind Joe Mixon and having also the veteran Samaje Perine. But Chris Evans, someone to watch here. If Mixon breaks down, I think they'll trust Evans in more of a feature role in year two. I just like his skill set, and he looked really good. Kind of reminds me of Chris Perry, if you remember him. Was a player there in the Rudy Johnson era of the Bengals backfield. He could do a lot of special things before injuries kind of cut short his career. So he's a guy we're looking at, but Chris Evans, I think he's going to be a future sub and handcuff that you're going to trust there behind Mixon in this offense. Now, let's go to the Browns side of things. They have some upside, too. D'Ernest Johnson breaks through for more than 120 yards rushing in this one. And part of his Kareem Hunt banged up in the ankle injury. Kareem does have one more year on this contract. We'll see what they do. Johnson's looked very good when given the opportunity, either spelling Nick Chubb or complimenting him, and that's what happened in this game. So They were careful with Chubb. Chubb also came in with multiple injuries in this one, like Hunt. So, again, it pivoted to Dearness Johnson pretty quickly. And here, and again, he showed he's a pretty good handcuff for Chubb if they go forward. And maybe they'll try to get out of Hunt's contract here, a little bit questionable in trying to carry two backs of that nature. So something to watch there, especially with his injury history, his age, and kind of all these things that have developed here in the past year in Cleveland. So something to watch. Wide receivers, I mean, flashes from Jarvis Landry and Donovan Peoples-Jones with Case Keenum filling in for Baker Mayfield, but they need one more receiver. That shows these guys are going to be more effective as complementary types. When you use them as primary targets, it doesn't always work out. So the Browns very much are going to be in play for first-round receiver, whether it's Baker Mayfield starting, returning healthy for this franchise, or someone else, a quarterback. I'm still leaning it's going to be Baker because they're a tough spot. I think they have to stick with Baker here in 2022. Let's go to the Packers-Lions game. We go north and north again, but this time in the NFC North. Alan Lazard, really like Alan Lazard and how he's come on here. And there's a development. I mean, you see the praise of Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams. Alan Lazard has established himself as a consistent number two. We wondered if Equanimeous St. Brown was ever going to emerge that way. Marquez Valdes-Scantling has been a flashy deep threat. But Alan Lazard, part of it was the Randall Cobb injury that helped them trust Lazard. Lazard was also injured himself and missed some time. The Iowa State product, he's really settled in nicely. So it took a few years to get on the same page and be consistent with Aaron Rodgers, but Lazard is here to stay as a complimentary receiver. The biggest thing for the Packers is what do they do? You were Davante Adams, figure he's going to be on the franchise tag as a free agent to be, but Lazard will continue to be a key factor in the playoffs. They rested Aaron Jones in this one, so good running game we know continues for the Packers. Patrick Taylor, we said we liked him behind Jones and A.J. Dillon. Dillon was the lead back, but Taylor also got in on the fun late in what turned out to be a pretty big shootout with the Packers resting most of their defense as well against the Lions. The Lions, we know what takeaways are there. I mean, Amon-Ra St. Brown, as if he needed one more big game here, but this rookie just dominated the final month of the season. He has to be the NFL Rookie of the Month. I mean, great time here for Amon-Ra St. Brown. So while we wait for his brother Equanimeous, on the other side, Amon-Ra, he's going off. They actually have another brother, Osiris, who plays at Stanford. So we'll see if he can be an NFL factor, more like Amon-Ra than Equanimeous. But again, he's been the go-to guy. He joins now DeAndre Swift, who looked good in this game. These are the triplets you're looking at here for whoever's starting quarterback next year over Jared Goff and Tim Boyle. Amon-Ra St. Brown now in the mix with Swift and TJ Hawkinson, the special playmakers. And the emergence of St. Brown is going to really help Hawkinson here when he returns at full strength from his hand injury in 2022. So there's a look at five games on the slate here from Sunday and Saturday's action, our takeaways and reactions there for you here on Locked On Fantasy Football. It's round up Monday, so we need to round up the 11 other games there that were played. So full slate of games here in week 18, I'll say. It's time for the playoffs here, so we just need to get to the playoffs. So we want to think week 16, week 18, they all kind of merge together if you're playing fantasy football, but it's week 18. It's also the new year. That means New Year's resolutions. If yours is about getting fit or eating healthier, make sure you include Built Bar in your plan. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, maybe even better than a candy bar. Built Bar makes it easier to stick to your resolution because Built Bars taste so good, you'll want to eat them, unlike other protein bars, which can be chalky or waxy or taste like a chemical spill. You want to eat healthy, but it just gets so boring. By the end of this month, you might be thinking, this is just not worth it. Where's all the chocolate? Well, Built Bars are covered in 100% real chocolate. That's all the Built Bars. And most of them contain 130 calories, only 4 grams sugar, only 4 grams net carbs, and 17 grams of protein. Compare that to a candy bar, which usually has around 240 calories, 30 grams of sugar, and countless of net carbs. So here's an idea for the year. Go to all your secret treat stashes at home in the pantry, at the office, in the car, wherever you have them, throw out all the sugary or calorie-filled treats and replace them with healthy Built Bars. So when you're craving a snack or treat, you can reach for something that is healthy and also tastes incredible. If you're not a huge fan of working out, you can at least eat something that tastes good and is good for you. That way, when you enjoy a delicious Built Bar, you can almost count it as a workout. So all kinds of cheats, so the Built Bar is the best here because you're not even cheating. You're getting a healthy, delicious bar with so many flavors to choose from. Coconut almond, peanut butter brownie, raspberry cookies and cream, salted caramel, mint brownie, many, many more. Built is always coming up with new limited time flavors, so check them out at Built.com often to see what's new. I had the blueberry muffin, excellent one there that Built Bar put out. So just look at Built.com and find out more about Built Bars and use the promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your order. Use the promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. I told you at the top of the show that we have a new sponsor here that is our title sponsor here for Locked On Fantasy Football. Hey, fantasy football fans, we're looking for an edge these days, and I'd like to thank OnlineGambling.com for sponsoring today's podcast. If you don't know already, OnlineGambling.com is a website dedicated to giving gamblers the edge throughout the playoffs, providing you with the best NFL tips, news, and more to help you make your bets as informed as ever. OnlineGambling.com gives gamblers the edge by providing the most trusted experience all day, every day online, inspiring every gambler in the world to beat the odds. Don't make emotional decisions with your hard-earned dollars. Make informed decisions with informed sourced by experts. Be sure to consult OnlineGambling.com before placing your bets, because that's where all the information is there for you. OnlineGambling.com is on a mission to be the world's most empowering gaming and betting site, giving gamblers the edge by providing the best and most trusted experience online. Again, all day, every day. OnlineGambling.com is inspiring every gambler in the world to beat the odds. Go to OnlineGambling.com and check out the latest NFL playoff news and tips on how you can get the edge. Visit the website for NFL tips and the playoffs, and also visit for anything that you missed with the NFL news. Again, make sure you visit OnlineGambling.com/NFL for the latest gambling news and tips to give you the edge throughout the playoffs. Remember, OnlineGambling.com/NFL to make the most of this year's exciting playoffs. All right, it's time to continue the show, breaking down now 6 more games. We'll hit 6 in this middle segment, then close the show with 5. Thanks again for making Locked On Fantasy Football your first listen every day. We're free and available to you on all platforms. Let's go to the AFC South, a double shot of matchups there. The Titans had to sweat a little bit, and they had a big lead, but the Texans came roaring back, but they beat the Texans. Your big story here is Ryan Tannehill, 287 yards passing. He looked locked into his wide receivers here. So first game all season long where Julio Jones has scored. He was healthy also for the game, which is a big revelation. He's had the hamstring issue all the time. But he scores. A.J. Brown scores. You had also Nick Westbrook-Ikhine score. So the 3 top wide receivers all get it done in this matchup against the Texans. Secondary, Tannehill warming up the right time, right before the playoffs. There was a lot of question mark about Tannehill. Now he might get Derrick Henry back here. You get a bye week. They're the number one seed, so that's going to help Derrick Henry get back on track. So, wow. I mean, this is a Titans offense that they're just kind of holding the fort, kind of treading water until they can explode again. And here it came against the Texans here with their receivers intact. The running game really didn't miss a beat too much with Dante Foreman and Dontrell Hilliard. They missed the individual explosive game takeover ability, but still very effective to set up the rest of the offense here. So, yeah, I think it can only go up from here with Tannehill and these wide receivers. This is what I think they were envisioning here with these two. Early was Josh Reynolds before he moved on to the Lions, but now it's Nick Westbrook-Ikhine being the third guy. But underrated receiving core, especially when all 3 of those guys are healthy and contribute. And they battled some COVID-19 issues. They've been thin at tight end. Anthony Firkser has come on there as well. So, yeah, everything's kind of lining up for this Titans passing game. And Henry's going to make it better because of the play action and big plays that come off of that. Now, let's look at the Texans. Davis Mills did create a nice rally here. He's done everything he can to try to earn a spot at competing for the job, or at least starting with the job next year in 2022 season. So, third-round pick has been pretty good here down the stretch, and the Texans have been a lot more competitive. So, I think they'll work on trying to help him. He has some decent help. We had no Chris Conley in this game, so you had a lot more Danny Amendola helping Nico Collins and Brandon Cooks. Amendola, big game, 2 touchdowns for him downfield. Backfield turned into a mess. They suddenly inserted David Johnson in there, and it was totally ineffective as he was the lead here at Rex Burkhead. So, yeah, they need some receiving help bad. I think Collins has some upside. Cooks is special. I think they need a bona fide young number one there to put in this receiving core. Amendola is a pretty good slot guy, but some depth, some things to work with. Upgrade what's up front, upgrade running back, upgrade what they have at receiver. They also have Brevin Jordan at tight end, who they like. So some pieces there for Texans in a new direction here in 2022. Colts Jaguars, speaking of teams in new directions, I mean, the Colts went into the tank. They lost to the Raiders at home in Week 17. They lose to the Jaguars badly. It wasn't even close. The Jaguars kind of were in control of this game, and they smashed Josh Allen, the defender, went all over on Carson Wentz, destroyed him. Wentz was just sloppy. He didn't play very well. He did miss all last week's practice with COVID-19. He came out sluggish against the Raiders, and they really went in a tank here. So bad ending for the season for Wentz with his final team, but it looked like for sure the Colts were going to be playoff bound here. So really disappointing season for Frank Reich bringing Wentz in there. So a lot of question marks about changing up with Wentz, but Jonathan Taylor, only 77 rushing yards in this game. He had to catch a few balls to really have an okay day, but no touchdowns. He was very ugly for this Colts offense completely. Michael Pittman did score and have a decent day as their leading receiver, but nowhere near 100 yards here. So we'll see what happens here. Is there a referendum on Wentz being the starter for 2022? A lot of things the Colts need to figure out under Frank Reich, but all they know is that they're staying home and in very ugly fashion here, losing to the Jaguars. By the way, they've lost 7 straight games at Jacksonville now. Weird, weird stat in the schedule, but that's exactly what's happened here for the Colts. Now, Trevor Lawrence, let's hope he builds on this game. This was best game by far of the season. He saved his best for last. Week 18, multiple touchdowns for the first time since week 1, and he had those 3 interceptions against the Texans. Very clean game. When he looked at Marvin Jones Jr. and Laviska Shenault, they were in the mix here as the leading receivers. DJ Chark, that injury hurt early in the season, but Laquon Treadwell getting it done. They even got Jacob Hollister going here, filling in for James O'Shaughnessy at tight end. So this is the passing game we expected. Also, there were some checkdowns here. They used Dare Ogunbowale filling in for James Robinson to also be in the mix as a receiver. Good, adept hands guy there. So the Jaguars, this is the type of offense we were expecting a little bit with Lawrence all season long. It comes, go figure, in a tough matchup against the Colts defense at home in the final game. So something to build on with the new coaching staff and offensive scheme there for Carson or Trevor Lawrence next year. Wentz, we'll see. Same old offensive system with him and Reich. A lot of question marks there. More upside and more good vibes for Lawrence. Closing the season, they're far removed from the disaster that was Urban Meyer. Let's go back up to the NFC North. Chicago and Minnesota, this was the Darnell Mooney-Justin Jefferson duel. You had a little bit of success from David Montgomery and Dalvin Cook, but both these teams were determined to stop the run. Mooney goes over 100 yards. Jefferson does as well. Here, KJ Osborne, a little bit quiet for them, but you look at the Vikings missing Adam Thielen here. Jefferson, another massive season for him. So he's locked in as an elite wide receiver one for a while he's in the prime. I mean, he put up numbers that Randy Moss got dwarfed by here. So that tells you something really about Jefferson. Most receiving yards in 2 seasons by any player in NFL history. So great season for Jefferson. Mooney emerged. I think he's right there at the wide receiver 2-1 borderline. He's going to have a big role next year. I know part of Mooney's production tied to Andy Dalton, but Mooney and Justin Fields should also get going next year. So 2 wide receivers to get excited about here. When our emphasis was on the running backs, these 2 wide receivers certainly stole the show for these teams with the Vikings winning. Now, let's go to another NFC East battle, Washington and the Giants. Now, good closing game for Antonio Gibson. He just dominated things on the ground. Terry McLaurin had nearly 100 yards for the first time in a long time. So the principals are Gibson and McLaurin. They're special. I know they're missing their 3rd guy, Logan Thomas. Not a lot to see from John Bates in this game. But, yeah, that tells you if they can get someone here, maybe a complimentary receiver there to McLaurin, continue to have someone who can relieve Gibson in touches, including J.D. McKissick. There, that's going to help both these guys be very productive. But tying everything together has to be a quarterback here. I think it just can't be the running back, wide receiver show here. So, again, Taylor Heinicke, admirable job of raising all these playmakers up. I think Ryan Fitzpatrick would have been a little bit better than that, but they got to turn the page, I think, to a rookie franchise quarterback here. That could lead to some early lumps there for McLaurin, but overall I think it's going to be best for them to change and turn the page to really tap in more to Gibson, McLaurin, who are running back 1 and wide receiver 1, if they get the right help, respectively, here in the 2022 season. Now, for the Giants offense, really can't judge anything. It was Jake Fromm starting with Mike Glennon, and Daniel Jones not available here, so they've just been playing off the string here. So Joe Judge, I think, was kind of getting a reprieve from that, where you can really evaluate the Giants with all their injuries offensively. Pretty much just Saquon Barkley and a little bit of Kenny Galladay, some tight end by committee here. That's about it for the Giants offense. So a lot where to improve here. The biggest thing is getting Kadarius Toney back in a big role. He was injured again, so They got to have a much better year too with Kadarius Toney if they're going to have more explosive offense. Galladay, a big disappointment as well. So Giants wide receivers got to clean up that mess here for for the 2022 season. All right, let's move on with the all NFC South battle, Saints and Falcons. Alvin Kamara, we knew he was going to go off. No Mark Ingram, so Mark Ingram could be at the line here. Remember, they only added him when Tony Jones Jr. was a little bit banged up here. So Alvin Kamara is still the dominant force as a runner here. And again, wide receivers, just when we thought we could trust Marcus Callaway, Traquan Smith starts to play and has a nice game here. Little Jordan Humphrey gets involved, but bottom line is the Saints need to upgrade their wide receivers big time here. We're talking about 49ers. That's the kind of players they need here, Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk. So we'll talk about those two guys a little bit more in the show. But yeah, that's the 49ers have an envious passing game. The Saints do not. They have to get those type of players. Again, I do like Marcus Callaway, but he has to be a complimentary player. Traquan Smith has proved that he's limited here and he's touchdown dependent. So I think they're going to blow up this wide receiver core a little bit and have a different number one. I think you'll see a lot more of Adam Trautman as well as tight end when he's fully healthy there next season and he can separate a little bit and they shore up their quarterback situation. So a lot of excitement there for the Saints offense if they can shore up some things. We know their offensive line also is missing Terron Armstead and Ryan Ramczyk. They're two starting tackles for a lot of the season. Eric McCoy also missed time at center. So again, the Saints left a lot on the table here offensively that they can build on. And part of that will be getting a reliable quarterback there. We'll see if Taysom Hill's the guy. I would doubt it. I think they could go bridge route. I don't think Trevor Siemian's going to be starter, even though he played well in relief of an injured Hill, who had a Lisfranc injury to keep this going. So Lisfranc can be very nagging, especially if you're an older running quarterback the way Taysom Hill is. So expect the Saints to really need to think about quarterback somewhere in next year's draft again. Go the bridge route and then table it for 2023, given they're going to pick deeper in the first round. All right, let's go to our final game of the segment, the Jets-Bills game. The Jets, there's some flashes there we've seen from the rookies, Zach Wilson and Michael Carter. They just need a lot of help. So I think the Jets will upgrade their offensive line. Part of it will just be getting Mekhi Becton back from injury there at left tackle. Then you look at the receiving core. They were down to Keelan Cole and Jamison Crowder. He needs his principals back. Those would be Corey Davis, Elijah Moore there, and Braxton Berrios. So those three guys all not in the lineup here for Wilson, so it could have been a different outcome. The pressure was too much. Got sacked 9 times in this game, so it's a lot to be done here in year two, but Lawrence and Wilson left us with at least a few flashes here that year two is going to be a lot more fruitful than their rookie seasons full of lumps here. Again, they were put in tough spots here for rebuilding teams. They were the centerpiece of it. Didn't really get a lot of help or right scheming or didn't fit with that at first, so that's what we saw here from the rookies. But again, the Jets offense is going to have a lot more upside there in 2022. Devin Singletary, he's had a great run as well here in the last several games. He's owned the backfield here, getting the key touches, getting the touchdowns, being the versatile guy that they use in the passing game as well as the running game heavily. So good pivot by Brian Daboll, making more of this a balanced offense instead of a pass happy one. Singletary's responded really well with his speed, shiftiness, quickness, and strength. So Singletary, I think if they're going to look for a feature back anymore, I don't think it's happening. I mean, Singletary's the guy that stood out over Zach Moss. He deserved all the key touches here. We never thought we were going to see that with Singletary breaking free from Moss or vice versa. Maybe thought Matt Breida would put himself into the mix, but good to see here. And Singletary has a lot of appeal as an RB2 with upside next year. And we'll watch him in the playoffs as well. I mean, he's going to be a big factor probably immediately against the Patriots, who he had a big game against just a couple weeks ago. All right, we will break down the final 5 games from Sunday's NFL action, the top reactions there for fantasy football. We will do that for you. But first, fantasy football fans, this is an incredible app everyone who buys gas needs to know about. It's called GetUpside. My listeners are making up to 25 cents per gallon for every gallon of gas, every time they fill up. Just download the free GetUpside app in the App Store or Google Play right now. Use the promo code TOUCHDOWN and get a bonus 25 cents per gallon in first fill up. That's up to 50 cents cash back. Don't pay a full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back using GetUpside. Just download the app for free and use the promo code TOUCHDOWN for NFL or score for college to get up to 50 cents per gallon on your cash back on your first tank. Again, that's touchdown for the NFL or score for college, whatever you're listening to. Some people who drive a lot are making as much as $200 to $300 a month in cash back, and there's no catch. The cash back gets added to your account. You can cash out anytime to your bank account, PayPal, or any gift card for Amazon or other brands. Just download the free GetUpside app and use the promo code TOUCHDOWN. That's the promo code TOUCHDOWN to get 50 cents per gallon cash back in your first tank. That's the promo code TOUCHDOWN at GetUpside. All right, time to close the show. Looking at our five final games of the Week 18 slate and of the 2021/2022 regular season. Let's go back and stay in the AFC East with the Patriots going to the Dolphins. Now, Patriots, very frustrating. We really like the matchup for Hunter Henry. He came through as the leading receiver in this game. But speaking of receiver, the wideouts for the Patriots has been really tough to navigate, especially with Christian Wilkerson coming around, then Nelson Aguilar being activated from the concussion with Kendrick Bourne and Jacoby Myers, and Aguilar and Wilkerson. It's just been really hard. They spread it around quite a bit in this passing game. They don't have a bona fide number one here, which hurts. So, and Hunter Henry is going to be a key target going forward for Mac Jones, but for the Patriots kind of evolve offensively to streamline their targets versus just being all over the place and spreading it around here for Mac Jones, and also easier to trust in fantasy when there are less mouths to feed there in general. Now for the Dolphins, Duke Johnson has been a revelation. Another big game for Duke. They got him off the scrap heap just a few weeks ago. He's been big here as their best back by far. So Miles Gaskin, Salvon Ahmed, Malcolm Brown, Phillip Lindsay. Yeah, none of these guys really worked out in this offense. But Duke Johnson made a case to be returned. I mean, remember, he doesn't have a lot of mileage. He was a split back there with Cleveland. Same thing in Houston. So again, Miami might be retaining Duke Johnson in the role. We'll see. You also could go out and draft a back that's much higher than the late rounder Miles Gaskin. All right, let's go to another team in Florida, but this time in the NFC South, the Panthers going to the Buccaneers. Let's talk about the Panthers real quick. Sam Darnold, we'll see if he gets a real opportunity next year. Was okay, but was under duress quite a bit of the game. He did get a touchdown with his old Jets friend Robbie Anderson late, so we weren't sure if Anderson was going to play, but he did, and he felt better about him with his Bucs secondary. But DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson, Christian McCaffrey presumably coming back, maybe a little bit of upgraded tight end. There are some weapons here to look at if they can get a legitimate offense coordinator here to replace Joe Brady in-house. Didn't work as well here during the season, so something to watch there with the Panthers' offense. Now, the Buccaneers, they've reinvented themselves pretty well. Mike Evans and Rob Gronkowski. Gronk is smashing as the number one receiver essentially now for Tom Brady. Evans is the number one scoring and deep threat here. And they got in other guys. They had Cyril Grayson get hurt, so it didn't take long for Grayson. Could have had a big role, but Scotty Miller scores on a rushing play in this game, so there was that. You had Tyler Johnson get involved, a little bit of Cameron Brait, but Brady had incentive to throw to Rob Gronkowski quite a bit. DeGronk was looking for $500,000 incentive bonus with certain milestones here. They pushed him well over 100 yards there, 137 yards there against the Panthers. So really good there overall, the improvisation. So really good news here for the Bucs that they'll find a way to get it done. And there'll still be principles here. So Rashad Perriman and Tyler Johnson, those guys are hard to trust. Grayson Miller, I think, is going to work himself back as a key target there with Evans. But Evans, definitely red zone. Look at Rob Gronkowski down the seam. So a lot of big plays still available here for Tom Brady in this offense. Interesting, the backfield, Keyshawn Vaughn scored on an easy running play, and he also had Le'Veon Bell score on a short passing play. So that's where they went, a lot of Vaughn, a lot of Bell. They were kind of limited here in this game. We'll see if Ronald Jones and Leonard Fournette and or can return here for the wildcard playoff round. And Gronk just destroying it. He looks like vintage Gronk for sure, taking over a game. And that's certainly what he did here in the second half against the Panthers. Let's go to the Seahawks-Cardinals game, shall we? The Seahawks, Rashad Penny. They're going to rethink this no option picked up here for Rashad Penny. I think he's showing them why they used a first-round pick on him, and Chris Carson had to be in the direction there with his health, but then he's been hurt. Rashad Penny fully healthy, taking advantage of that over the final month here. So Penny, another massive game here, long touchdown run. Just shoots out of a cannon. Great speed, good strength, good power, good explosiveness all around. So we're learning why they love Rashad Penny and wanted to invest so highly in him, John Schneider and Pete Carroll, because they thought he could be another Marshawn Lynch. And we've seen some of that beast mode from him, certainly, in some of these games. So that's the story. That's the revelation. Let's hope the Seahawks keep him now, Because again, they really can't trust Chris Carson's health. It's also opened up the pass game. Couple touchdowns for Tyler Lockett here. DK Metcalf looking good. A little bit quiet there, no touchdown, but Freddie Swain gets a wide open score here against the Cardinals secondary. So, again, everything this offense seemed to work and click the way that Shane Waldron wanted to down the stretch, and we'll see if Waldron can be retained, see if Wilson stays, and see if Carroll stays here in 2022. All right, let's look at the Cardinals side of things. I mean, it's been hard to trust a wide receiver individually since we lost DeAndre Hopkins there to injury. So it's been AJ Green, you've had a little bit of Wesley in there, wide receiver. Rondale Moore didn't play in this game. He was downgraded and out before it. Christian Kirk, a little bit of that, but clearly Zach Ertz is their top target. Their security blanket all over the field. It's the way they spread the field and get some athleticism. That's why they made the trade for Ertz there. So a lot all around here, what you're looking at for the Cardinals. And Zach Ertz, again, we'll see. He's on a one-year deal. They might be looking to replace him next year. Part of it started with Max Williams going down as well. So, but Ertz has turned out to be really reliable here. And that's kind of, I think, hurt, in general, Kyler Murray's upside because they're really dependent on tight ends. They don't really open up the offense and throw downfield the way they did quite a bit last year with Murray. And that's when he was running as well. So they took away his running, but they're not really replacing it with the same big downfield passing. So a lot of things to figure out there with the Cardinals. We'll go to our other matchup of two NFC West teams, the 49ers and Rams. We mentioned Ayuk and Debo. I really like the way these guys on the coaching staff for the 49ers scheme up the Ayuk and Debo. Kyle Shanahan getting them open. You have Jalen Ramsey on the other side. What happened was Jalen Ramsey was often on George Kittle. It led to an interception, a ball that tipped up in the air. He made a diving interception in the end zone. We thought that could be it for the 49ers, but great rally by Jimmy Garoppolo. Injured right thumb and all to keep these guys involved. Ayuk was open a lot. They also had Juwan Jennings make a lot of plays there to complement Debo and Ayuk. So, the 49ers passing game is just very well coached. They find ways to get these guys open. They're great after the catch. They're great during the route as well, finding separation to get open. So, Ayuk started out in the doghouse, very quiet for him, but he's really come on strong here, playing off Samuel with Jimmy Garoppolo back. So, excited about that. He also had a very nice game with Trey Lance last week. So Ayuk, I think, is back as a bona fide wide receiver three. You can trust Debo Samuel the way he produced as a runner and receiver. Was a wide receiver one here in 2021-2022. So Ayuk and Debo are going to be key to trying to beat the Cowboys. What happened here? George Kittle, third straight quiet game, bottled up by Ramsey. So he's going to get that treatment that's always going to keep helping Ayuk and Samuel produce like this. And that's exactly what happened in the game. Now, for the Rams side of things, they also struggled with Eli Mitchell running the ball. So, Mitchell could be here to stay as the lead back. We'll have to see how it plays out if they start liking Trey Sermon more. But right now, you figure Mitchell has that job going in if he has a decent playoff run here with the 49ers. So, the Rams, I think they've become totally Cooper Kupp dependent. I mean, you do have to play from Van Jefferson. You had the early couple scores from Tyler Higbee. But Cooper Kupp was still the man. He had the touchdown we thought was going to put the Rams in position to be the number two seed, but the 49ers rallied here, and that was big time. So Cooper Kupp, congratulations to him. He falls a little bit short of the all-time receiving yardage record, but still a massive fantasy football winning season for Kupp. Kupp was tied, I'm sure, to a lot of league winners with his production this season. So big year for Cooper Kupp. But that said, be wary. Everyone's going to jump on Cooper Kupp in the first round, even as a wide receiver one, the top wide receiver on the board. Keep in mind, he's got some knee injuries in the past, getting a little older. This could be his career peak, and it's really hard to duplicate numbers of a season that great, even if it's returning with Matthew Stafford, Robert Woods, and Odell Beckham Jr., and Van Jefferson. So keep that in mind with Cooper Kupp. All right, the final game was an all-AFC West affair. This was a wild one, won in overtime, 35-32. It was 29-29 at the end of regulation here, and the Raiders went for two and didn't make it, so 15-point deficit. Justin Herbert erased it fourth down after fourth down. They converted a lot of Mike Williams there, making big plays there in the end zone and delivering. You had Josh Palmer. You had Jalen Guyton. Keenan Allen did his best, but a very quiet overall game for him in relation to the other receivers. These receivers looked worn down. It seemed like they have to run routes all the way up and down the field. That's how aggressive they are with Justin Herbert. But they had their success. I mean, high-risk, high-reward type of offense. You had the turnovers. You also went for it on fourth down on short in their own end, which led up to a field goal on the other side. So that ended up being the difference when you added up all in overtime. So I like the coaching style, Brandon Staley. I like the aggressiveness, going for it, to Joe Lombardi as well. But sometimes you want to rein it in, sometimes you don't. Because if you have Justin Herbert, you want to keep pushing for long passes as long as they can, and that's what they did here. Nearly 400 yards passing from him. Ends up with a big comeback, and relentless there in the second half and overtime. So, very accomplished season for Justin Herbert. Unfortunately, we will not have his assets there in the fantasy football playoffs, and really, Brandon Staley has to be scratching his head a little bit here, letting the Raiders advance. I mean, the Chargers should have won this game easily in regulation, but they let the Raiders hang around, grind a little bit, and lost a battle of attrition in overtime. So, we'll see. Mike Williams is a free agent next year. That's the concern. So maybe look at just moving on with Josh Palmer or Jalen Guyton in that role. That's probably what's going to happen here. He's too expensive to keep. I'm sure Mike Williams will look to cash in elsewhere. He might also take a bit of a discount to stay playing with Justin Herbert here. Keenan Allen getting a little bit older, so maybe they restructure his deal to keep Mike Williams. But stay tuned to figure out what happens there. But this offense, of course, with a lot of upside with Herbert and the receivers, and Austin Eckler out of the passing game as well. So a lot of things to look forward to. This Chargers team needs to shore up a few things defensively, definitely against the run, if they're going to come back and be a playoff team there with the young gun as good as Herbert here for 2022. All right, the other side of things, they took a long time all season. Josh Jacobs didn't have 100 yards rushing until a couple weeks ago against the Broncos. So that was his first 100-yard game in a long time. He puts up another one here 2 weeks later in a critical time against the weak Chargers run defense. So I don't think they fed him consistently enough, and it was just questionable with his usage. He had a little bit of injury issue there. He was playing through the nagging stuff. So I don't know what it was, but they limited Josh Jacobs. But this is the way Josh Jacobs should be operating as a workhorse. They finally figured that out at the end, but now they're going to have to change their offensive philosophies. But whoever inherits Jacobs is going to make sure he's a centerpiece of what they do, open things up in the downfield pass game. Now, we saw some flashes from Bryan Edwards. We had Darren Waller return as well to help Foster Moreau a little bit, but just kind of by committee, very sporadic passing game production there. So Derek Carr, we'll see. The jury's still out on what he can do. I know he's gritty, and he leads a lot of comebacks, and he's tough, and they can win some games with him. He can light it up at sometimes, making some beautiful throws, but just too inconsistent. Well below 200 yards in this game. He did have a couple scores. Hunter Renfrow had one of them. So Hunter Renfrow, they got to find a way to complement Renfrow, Jacobs, and Waller here. That means someone who can stretch the field and be a big, reliable presence outside at wide receiver. All right, there is your reaction and takeaways from your Week 18 NFL action here on Locked On Fantasy Football. We call it a Roundup Monday, and we'll do it again all throughout the playoffs here as we near and close in on Super Bowl 56 here in Los Angeles. I'll be on site there, so maybe some special stuff to get you there on Locked On Fantasy Football from my time at Sporting News. So a lot of good stuff ahead, and we'll break it all down for you. So what we'll do is we have those six games in action. We'll break those down for you here in the AFC and NFC. So break it down. We'll take two games at a time. We'll start with the Saturday action, get into Sunday, and then close with Monday. And we'll do a series of three matchup shows for you: Matchup Tuesday, Matchup Wednesday, and Matchup Thursday. Thanks for making Locked On Fantasy Football your first listen every day. Now make it your second listen, Locked On Bets, your daily one-stop shop for all gambling needs. Locked On Bets, hosted by your boy Q with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling. It's free and available to you on all platforms. For Locked On Fantasy Football, this has been Vinny Iyer. This has been another Roundup Monday. And don't forget, we're pivoting to a Matchup Tuesday tomorrow.